You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Where did you get this?
I didn't. Percy and his little cabal walked in with it.
Look, control.
Shut up.
Style appalling. Patently a fabrication from beginning to end. Just could be the real thing.
Well, if it's genuine, it's gold dust. But its topicality makes it suspect.
Smiley is suspicious, Percy.
Where did it come from? What's the access?
A new secret source of mine.
But how could he possibly have access?
He has access to the most sensitive levels of policy making. We've named the operation Witchcraft.
Well, Percy and his pals bypassed us, Smiley, gone straight to the minister. Percy has been allowed to keep the identity of his new friend top secret.
Hand me the keys, your fairy godmother.
This is bozo, man.
Where'd you get that beauty scar, tough guy? Eating pineapple?
Stuff you.
These sound like a great big chicken just waiting to be plucked.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
That's bullcrap.
Freak you, Sam Rothstein. Freak you.
Monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane!
You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps?
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
All right, here we go. Episode 149 of Cinema Crespediso is underway. How's it going, guys? Thanks for downloading, listening, checking in. We appreciate it. It is your weekly go-to guide for most things movies. Can't be all things movies. You know why? Because that's impossible. What are we, Watson?
It's improbable.
It's
not impossible.
We would need a staff.
Yes.
Like, give us
more than two.
Multiple yes. People working on different stations feeding us information at all times from multiple angles.
Correct.
We can't do that.
No.
But we can do this. Cinema Crespo. So how's it going? I'm host Chris Crespo, hanging out with Drew Stick-Hogburn. Drew!
What up, dude?
How are you doing, man?
I'm doing. Another week. 1 week closer to my vacation.
Hell yeah.
Getting the hell out of town for a while.
Gonna go see Billy D?
Yes, sir. So up in NYC.
What's up, Billy D in NYC?
No.
Awesome. Together right there for a second.
I'm going to hang out with him for a week and do some New York City corresponding of my own.
Hang out with Bushwick Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, you're going to have to report back. We're going to have to figure something out. Record something while you're up there. You're like, I'm on vacation. Why am I doing podcast work for something I don't get paid for? Because you love it.
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either. So here we are. It's just the two of us.
Yes.
Old school.
Just the two of us. We can make it if we try, Chris. I can't sing.
You're doing fine, though. You're on key.
It's okay.
Sort of.
No.
I've seen you do it on Rock Band. On the Medium.
Medium, yes. Yeah. On Medium.
Hey.
As long as it's The Police or Rush or any song that I actually know the words to.
If you know the words.
I can't, you know, I can't, yeah, no. It's bad.
If you know the words ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Then I don't know.
That helps. Not even interested in that Rock Band 4. Read about it.
Yeah,
thought
no.
about it. Nope.
No,
done with it.
Not really.
Done with playing with the plastic instruments.
It was a fad. I mean, I still have all my old plastic instruments sitting in my closet. Eventually.
Doing nothing.
Eventually, I'm probably going to throw them in the dumpster
soon.
Oh,
the dumpster. Oh. Well, yeah. I mean, they made all new ones for the new platforms, yeah. Man.
I mean, you said they made adapters.
They made adapters.
So I can use the old ones.
There's some adapters. But yeah.
What's the point in that if I'm not going to play it anymore?
I'm not even going to play it. It's just, why don't we just like get our own instruments and start a band for real? That's so much harder.
Exactly.
People are always like, why don't you just spend all that time playing actual instruments? Because that's hard as fuck. It takes years and years just to get mediocre at.
But on
Guitar Hero and Rock Band, I got to expert level in like 2 months.
Hell yeah, there are blinking dots that tell me what to do.
I could play drums for real if he presented me the sheet music in the form of
blinking dots.
Timed blinking dots.
Yeah.
Well, I can play you some drums.
You can.
But ask me to do that in my head. I'm like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Damn it.
Nope. Not going to happen.
My feet, my hands. Why won't they?
No coordination.
So welcome to Guitar Hero Cast. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. I'm here with Juicy Cogburn and Drew.
What up?
We haven't played this game in years.
No. I spent a lot of money on that shit, though.
Just spent a lot of money. It was like, it was a fad.
Yeah, I had a fake bass and everything.
But then you were like, I want the keyboard. But then by the time they introduced the keyboard, you're like, I'm done with this.
Yeah, pretty much.
The fad was over.
The keyboard was a cool idea.
It was a cool idea, but they didn't bring it back.
No.
Remember when they did DJ Hero?
Vaguely.
And it was just like a couple buttons that you turn back and forth.
Like I said.
I guess there was a wheel, too.
Not really.
They didn't actually lay hands on it. I saw it on display at Best Buy. Hey, do you remember Best Buy's?
Vaguely.
Best Buy's, for people who are listening, especially from the future, there were these stores that you walked into and had all these electronic stuff that is now available via downloading.
Yeah. Movies, games,
PC crazy.
Stuff.
Walking there now, it's
CDs.
Walking there now, it's half TV.
What happened to CDs?
The other half.
What are CDs? I haven't seen a CD in so long.
CDs. I got a box of CDs upstairs.
I got so many CDs.
You want them?
No.
If you want a box of CDs, hit me up, cinemacrespedisa@gmail.com, and maybe...
You'll just send them straight to him. Here you go, here's a box of CDs.
No, but they'll be on the curb.
Sweet. You'll let them know where they are.
Let you know somewhere in town. They won't be out here, though. I'll drop them off in a random corner somewhere. That sounds like
They should just follow you on Twitter. You can tweet people, the box of CDs right here. Pick them up if you want them.
Yeah. Then I'm out.
Yeah.
Oh, all those CDs, all that money. All that time.
Gone.
Well, that's the way it is now. If you're listening from the future, that's the way it was. We waste all our time and money on physical stuff. Thanks for checking us out. If you're listening from the past, man, you're wasting all your time and money. What are you guys doing?
You guys need to realize the future's on its way.
How'd you do that? Let's get into... It's just you and me. No guest this week, which is fine by me. And before we get into the Netflix pick of the week, I forgot to tell you, Drew...
You forgot to tell me, Chris.
Actually, I forgot. I was supposed to announce this last week, and I forgot to do it. I'm not good at this thing.
Good job.
You've
only been doing it for how long?
A few years now, and not very good at it. But we got a sponsor.
Really?
I should have a little words of the thing. We got a. Thank you very much. Polite applause. We got a sponsor.
All right.
For both the website and the show.
Nice. Who is it? What is it?
LatestFilmTrailers.net.
Okay.
It's a website. It's a film trailer website.
Okay.
And they just aggregate trailers. Mm-hmm. So it's everything that comes out.
It's all new, trailers.
Everything. That's like movies you've never heard of, but they're new and they're happening and they're coming out somewhere.
Yeah.
And they have it split up. So it's like, here's just the newest stuff. Here's action. Here's comedy, et cetera, et cetera. And on the side, it has a list of recent movie news articles you can click on from other sites and stuff.
Nice.
It's pretty good utilitarian site.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely good if you like watching trailers because it's got... They got them all.
Awesome.
So their new sponsor to the show, latestfilmtrailers.net.
Awesome. I look forward to watching some trailers
Check out some trailers there. And then I guess I got to tell you about all the back behind the scenes stuff on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you about that off the behind the scenes.
Backdoor.
Backdoor stuff. The inside baseball stuff.
Yeah.
That's just for us.
Gotcha.
So here we go. Netflix instant pick of the week time. Drew, you got that Crespedisa randomized 9000 started up?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, let's hear that the theme music. For the entertainment that you see, it's time for the Netflix pick of the week. The Netflix instant pick of the week. You can check out all the past Netflix instant picks of the week at chriscrespo.com.
This week had a chance of being This Is Spinal Tap, Chris. But it's not on the instant anymore.
This Is Spinal Tap isn't on there anymore?
Nope.
Aww.
I took it down.
People watch This Is Spinal Tap. It's great.
But this week's is...
Here we go.
From 1987.
1987. It's an action movie.
It's rated R.
It's a rated R action movie.
It's an hour and 33 minutes. You rated it 4 stars.
Is it an action movie?
No, it is not an action movie. Well, kind of. It's more of a horror movie.
It's a horror movie from 1987? 86.
87. Rated R.
Rated R.
133 minutes.
133 minutes.
You rated it 4 stars.
187 minutes. No,
183
minutes. I'm not really listening to you. Here we go. Okay. It's a horror film.
Yes.
Straight up.
Straight up.
An intense one. Have you seen it?
Yes. Yes.
Is it is there like a lead, like a main bad guy monster horror thing?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Hellraiser?
Yes.
Wow. All right, let me write that one down. That's the intense Netflix pick of the week.
Yes, it is.
Pinhead.
Correct.
Everyone knows all about that Pinhead. Pinhead isn't, he's kind of the main, you know how Pinhead ended up being the main dude? Because there's four of those guys in that movie, right?
Yes.
Four creatures. And they all shared dialogue. They're supposed to be a group, and they're all equal, and they all shared dialogue in the screenplay. But because of the makeup they used on two of them, they couldn't really talk through all their crazy makeup.
Okay.
So their dialogue got split up between Pinhead and the female Cenobite.
Gotcha.
Creature thing. And then of the two, because of the guy, I think his name's Dan Bradley, his the whole pin thing, he had like the least amount of makeup.
Yeah.
You know, like his face was more, you could see him more. So he ended up getting most of the lines, and then it's like everyone's like, oh, that guy, he's the, you know.
Yeah.
And then he became the focus of all the...
And then he became Pinhead.
Yeah, he wasn't even called Pinhead in that one. That came later somehow.
And then there are a lot of really awful sequels.
The second one is good, and then from 3 on is like, whoa.
Hellraiser 4, Bloodline. Hellraiser 6, Hellseeker.
I like how they use both numbers and subtitles. That's rare.
Hellraiser 7, Deader.
Oh, that's terrible. Two of them both come out in 2005 because one of them was made in 2002 but wasn't released for 3 years.
Yes, Hellraiser 7, Deader. Yeah. And then also Hellraiser : Hell World.
All of them with the same dude.
With Superman.
Brandon Routh?
No.
Henry Cavill.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes, that's Henry Cavill.
That's awesome. You gotta get your start somewhere, man. Someone's got to do it. They are English films. Hellraiser is an English movie.
Don't forget Hellraiser 5 Inferno. Hellraiser : Revelations from 2011.
That's the most recent one where it's not the same guy.
Or
is there another one?
Oh, 1988 Hellbound : Hellraiser 2.
That's Hellraiser 2.
Yeah, but it's Hellbound.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's weird. That one pulled the Rambo First Blood on you.
And then Hellraiser 3 Hell on Earth. That's a lot of Hellraiser.
1 and 2 are the only ones you really gotta watch. If you enjoy the ridiculousness of it, then by all means, watch all that other garbage.
One of them is Superman.
I'm sure Billy Dee finds redeeming values in several of those.
Maybe.
I'm sure he does. Hellraiser's crazy because, you know, it's all about they find the puzzle box, and when you solve the puzzle box, which you shouldn't want to do, but when you do, creatures from another dimension show up.
Mm-hmm.
That have experienced extreme pleasure and extreme pain to such degrees that they can't tell the difference between the two. And they're all about inflicting that on people in like some sort of never-ending...
Human sacrifice?
There's this one scene. Most of the movies, actually, the Cenobite guys aren't even the main bad guys.
Yeah.
You know?
They're just the most memorable part.
Yeah, they are. The main bad guy is this dude who... he was one of their victims, but he escaped, but he's like an entity of some sort, and he's trying to rebuild his body, and blood is dripping. When he gets blood, he rebuilds. So the very first time when there's blood involved, and then there's no one around, and it's this crazy special effect sequence of like all these things coming together, and it's super goopy and gross and disgusting, and it's just like the way it's like a skeletal system like come up out of the ground with like bits of so gnarly looking.
Pretty gross.
And very cool.
Yeah, at the time, definitely.
It's a practical effect. It's like, man, that's...
And it still looks good. It holds up today.
It does still look pretty good because it's otherworldly looking. It's not supposed to look like something real.
No.
It just has to look like it exists in that space. But otherwise, it can be all goofy looking as possible. Which it does. And then as this dude, Frank, his body is coming back piece by piece. Movie's a crazy bloody mess.
Yes, it is. True horror film.
Good times. Good times with the Hellraiser. Thanks, Drew.
Welcome, Chris.
You pick such an awful film for people to watch. Hey, I mean, a fantastic movie.
They can't all be winners, buddy.
Just a week late, couple weeks late for Halloween, too. Oh, it's a winner. It's a hell winner. You could watch
it's a Hellraiser.
Hellbound colon Hellraiser. That's hysterical.
Hellbound colon.
You can watch them both with the Hellbound colon. You can watch them both as a double feature thing. Yeah. Boom. And then really just
skip the rest of it. Yeah.
And then skip the rest of it. Absolutely. Let's get into that box office recap, Drew. Where is Room on the list? It would be kind of low.
Number 19 this week.
How much did Room make?
$578,000, total of $2.2
million. $2.2 million? That's a tiny little movie. That's a lot of money for such an itty-bitty little film. Room is Brie Larson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Spectacular Now, Scott Pilgrim V the World. Correct. A lot of stuff. She's Amy Schumer's sister in the Trainwreck, right? Mm-hmm. She plays a mom who, she's one of these, like, sort of, you know, every year you hear about how some girl is kidnapped, yanked off the street and then put in some dude's home, like in a room or in a shed or something.
And stays there for a really long time.
Yes. And then he abuses her, and then sometimes they even have kids in there.
Yeah.
And then they get out every now and then. Correct. Some of them get out. Some of them don't, if you think about it. Which sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie, it starts out with she's like early 20s and she has a 5-year-old kid, and the kid's never been outside the room.
Mm-hmm.
And the first like 45 minutes or so of the movie is them in the room, what life is like in there, how, you know.
It's the room.
It's the room. But actually, it's specifically your room. Like, hello, room. It's weird. Yeah. And, good, and this is part of, I don't think this isn't a spoiler, because it's like part of the hook of the movie. This is what you're going to see the movie for. Partway through the film, like 40 minutes or so, maybe an hour in, they get out. And then it's all about readjusting, because now the kid's seeing the world for the first time.
Yeah.
That type of stuff.
Well, and this lady's back in the world.
And she's back in the world after going through a very traumatic, horrible situation, right? So it's how they adjust, both of them, what's happening. And that even... As a matter of fact, I think that is when the movie actually really starts taking off and gets more compelling. And because you can imagine just getting by in a room, you know,
it sounds pretty awful.
It's terrible, but you see how they do it. Like, oh, this is a horrible existence, but they're existing. It's more interesting when they get out, and how is that going to? How do they adjust to that, both of them? And it's really well done. It's a small movie, you know, very low budget, obviously, because it doesn't require much.
Uh-huh.
William H. Macy and Joan Allen show up as the parents.
Oh, nice. I love me some William H. Macy.
Yeah, they're pretty fantastic in it. Even though they're in a little bit. Macy less so than Allen. And, I mean, Brie Larson's great. It's one of those things where people are talking about awards, et cetera, for her. That type of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, because she's very great and very believable and movies emotional, you know?
And
a little raw. But it's not like it's not a downer necessarily. Not really. It gets, you know, there are bits that are like, oh man, that sucks. But it's balanced out pretty well.
Well, it's certified fresh at 96%.
96%, yeah. What's the average rating?
8.5 out of 10.
8.5. I'd go, like 8 out of 10. 8.5. I'd consider it going that high. It is quite good. The same writer-director who did Frank.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's only like his third movie. So this guy's really good with the low budget stuff. And with actors, apparently. He's great with actors.
Yeah.
What's the room guy? Yeah, got the consensus there?
Yeah, exactly. What you've been talking about the whole time.
Oh, okay. So, sure. No. Just listen to me, guys.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Just listen to me. So room is quite good. I liked it quite a bit. Obviously not, you know, seeing in the theater is... It's more a supporting indie film type of thing to see this in a theater, as opposed to you gotta see it in a movie theater. Because again, does it have, what's the screen count? I would imagine like 70 screens,
133
screens, so double that amount. Yeah, it's not everywhere.
Yeah,
and it's been out there for a few months now.
Okay,
so they may put it out on more screens coming up closer to Christmas, depending on how it does in the interim for the whole, you know, again, the awards push.
Yeah.
That type of stuff. So there you go, Room. Pretty good.
Yep.
Pretty damn good. Drew.
Number five.
The 33.
We can gross at $5.8 million.
Los 33. Starring Antonio Banderas.
Mm-hmm.
The nasal XP.
Yes.
The nasal. How are your sinuses, Drewster?
They're kind of clogged.
Well, you need someone else next.
Thanks, Antonio.
I love Antonio Banderas, man. That guy's awesome. Not used nearly enough in Expendables 3. My favorite part of Expendables 3, when the guy trying to get into the group, and they're like, no, man, you're crazy. He's like, no, look, I can do all these parkour. And then it cuts to a stunt double real quick. Uh-huh. And then he's like, cuts to him finishing. Like, this guy's so flamboyant. He wants to be an Expendable.
He does.
We love this guy. I want a spin-off movie of him and Wesley Snipes' character, Dr. Death.
I just have them teaming up and...
The two of them teaming up and...
Causing mayhem.
Yeah, just the two of them. Screw everyone else. We don't need everyone.
Write the script. Do it now. Start doing it before they both get too old.
So much work. No, the older the better. That's how it works these days.
Yeah, I mean, if you say so.
Hey, those guys are aging like fine wine in that their asses turning into vinegar.
I was about to say.
Shout out to Pulp Fiction, Quentin Tarantino. He doesn't listen to the show.
Coming number four this week.
Quentin, you should listen to the show. Wait, what was number five? I forgot.
Exactly. The Martian. Weekend gross is 6.7. Total of 207.
Yeah. It broke 200. Well. And I think it's at 450 worldwide. So The Martian still killing it out there. And we know people who still want to go see it.
Yeah.
And they're like, is it still in theaters? So, boom.
Coming at number three this week, Love the Coopers. Weekend gross at 8.4 million.
Love the Coopers.
Yeah. It's Love. That take a bunch of popular actors, throw them in a Christmas movie.
With a little... bunch of little tiny subplots.
Yeah.
My parents went and saw this.
And?
My mom didn't tell me anything. She didn't even bring it up, so that's how much... That's what she thought of it. My dad said he didn't fall asleep.
Well, is that a good thing?
Yeah.
I mean, does your dad fall asleep a lot in theaters?
Yeah. The movie's not holding his attention.
Okay.
He'll fall asleep. So it held his attention. So it was that much.
All right, well, it held one man's attention.
You know, Spectre at 2.5 hours, good chance he could... Not often that here or there.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Maybe.
Depends on time of day.
Who knows?
So they saw it and not a raving review.
Awesome.
What is it on Rotten Tomatoes, I wonder? Because it's like, it just seems like such a generic Christmas movie. Like you said, throw a bunch of famous people, you know, into all the family members. Who you got? Who's hot right now? We got Jason Sudeikis,
Got Amanda Seyfried. We have Olivia Wilde. We have...
Look at all these people.
Certified Rotten at 16%.
Oh, no. Oh, boy. Yep. What is there a consensus?
Love the Coopers has a talented cast and a uniquely bittersweet blend of holiday cheer in its better moments, but they're all let down by a script content to settle for cloying smarm.
Ew, gross. The worst kind of smarm. Yeah, the cloying kind. One. What's its average rating at 16%?
3.7.
Ooh, man. That's like video game movie level.
Yeah. Well, it's that, crappy holiday movie.
Yeah. They got to put one of these out at least every other year.
They should.
I can't remember what last year's crappy holiday movie was. Exactly. Seth Rogen was in one, wasn't he? Was that a holiday movie? No, it just... The one with Bette Miller? No, Barbara Streisand. Bette Miller.
That was just a family movie.
Yeah, that's just.
That's all.
Yeah.
Number two this week.
Number two.
The Peanuts movie. We can guess 24 million. Total of 82.
82?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Not doing.
How the budget?
99.
99? All right. Yeah, 99. I could see that budget because the animation's pretty crazy.
Yeah, look, seriously, I almost want more.
That
continuing stories of. Throw that shit on television just with that animation style.
Yeah, on TV. I want more of that. But two things. Two drawbacks to the movie. Because we saw it. Finally saw it. Been talking about it. Finally saw it. Two drawbacks to the movie. Number one, I realized about halfway through the film, all the other Peanuts specials and TV things are all like 22 minutes long.
Yeah. Really short.
They're short. So like halfway through this hour and a half movie, I was like, oh yeah, this is too thin for feature length.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Like I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying it.
Which is why there was all that fun Snoopy stuff with the Red Baron.
Oh yeah.
Well, which was like half the movie.
Well, the feature length, the running time allowed them to really get deep into that stuff.
Yeah.
And they took advantage of it. I think they did the best they could giving us a feature length version of a Peanuts thing, but it would work best in shorter form, like on TV.
Yeah.
But the way it looked that way, though. It was cool to see it in a theater. I'm sure it looked pretty good in 3D because it's animated. Animation always looks good in 3D form.
All those kids, they were everywhere, Chris.
Theater full of kids? Well, apparently...
They were everywhere.
Apparently there was a party.
Yeah.
apparently there's a party. But they were also watching the movie.
They were. They weren't like yelling and screaming.
Yeah, they were quiet. They were quiet and, you know, laughing, and they were into it. People, they seemed to enjoy it. So that's a good sign for the Peanuts, yeah. For the whole Schultz brand, that it still works as characters and the style of storytelling, because it does stay very true.
Well, it does stay very, very true.
Like, felt like I was watching...
Poor Charlie Brown, he's just a flip-flopping failure.
See, that's they did a Charles Schultz biography a few years ago, and got into where all the characters come from. So Charlie Brown is him, but all his, like, neuroses and his depression and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's why it's such a sad sack, because that's how Schultz saw himself.
Yep.
Lucy, the domineering Lucy, always putting him down, based on his wife.
Of course.
He had a sister that was the Sally character. Linus is like his better instincts. You know, it's all drawn from...
his life.
From his very sad inner life. Yeah.
Poor guy.
So when you watch from that angle and you see all the depression, it's like amazing.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, this is some sad shit for the most part. But only if you're looking at it that way. Otherwise, just look at this idiot. Can't kick a football or fly a kite. Yeah. You know what I did have a problem with, too? There were a couple scenes where they used, like, pop songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, like pop song montage instead of doing...
Well, the kids like the pop songs.
Do they, though?
I don't know. Kids don't even know what they like.
Or executives telling the kids, this is what you like.
Probably that, too.
Doing a little bit of looking around online, one of the songs is a Meghan Trainor song. So that
don't know who that is.
All About That Bass song. That's like...
Okay.
You've heard it.
I'm sure I have.
I was going to Spotify it, but fuck it. You've heard it. And the other one is like... is featuring Flo Rida. Nice. I think that was the one during the dance-off.
Flo Rida.
Like, the kids don't know who Flo Rida is. The average age in that theater was like 10.
Probably.
You know?
Maybe the 10-year-olds do know who Flo Rida is.
It's the opposite of when we see something like Best of Enemies or...
Well, we're the youngest people there.
It's like, why can't we get this right? What's our demographic supposed to like? I don't know. I'm out of touch.
I like it all.
It was lame. They have all this great Giraldi music that they use, too. They use a lot of the theme songs and stuff. But then they also had another guy create a more traditional score that doesn't use the themes. I don't know. I felt like the music could have been better. Mm. You know? But that's it, though.
But if that's the only complaint you have, then... I mean, it's not really much of a complaint, Chris.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's well done, and the animation's really cool. And all that Red Baron stuff is dope.
It was a lot of fun.
I like when it was like, when Sally narrates, it's like, Chapter 6, Curse You, Red Baron! And lightning bolt, and it was like a crazy montage, super quick. There were little moments here and there that were really fun. I was like, oh shit, they went there, that's cool. And I want to note, because it's a Blue Sky film, so you do all the Ice Age movies with Fox. So all of their movies, no matter if it's Ice Age or not, starts with one of those Scrat. Is that his name?
I have no idea. That weird little...
that little rodent thing.
With his nut.
Yeah. And he's always trying to open his nut, and it's always fucking shit up.
Yeah. Apparently he created the Milky... at least our solar system.
Hey, that fucking short blew my mind. I was like, this is... He's in a spaceship. He's going out of space. I was not expecting any of this.
And he created our solar system.
It's so unexpected. By accident. Yeah, the hits of planets are bouncing around like pool balls, doing this crazy, weird, magical realism thing. And then he creates the universe. And he also sends the asteroid on its way to destroy all the Ice Age character dinosaurs.
Correct.
I mean, are they his friends? I don't know. I haven't watched all those movies. Nope. Yeah, the Ice Age movies. But that shit. And then there's one part where he's like floating out there outside of his spaceship.
Yeah.
And like two planets collide into each other. It's like, it creates an asteroid field.
My favorite part
was in slow motion. Like, whoa, that's crazy looking.
My favorite part was they put the nut in a suit, too. Yeah. And the first thing that happens is the nut gets taken away and the quote unquote suit's head gets taken off.
Yeah.
And he freaks out like his buddy's head just got crushed.
Yeah, he's holding onto the suit with the nut is gone and the headpiece is broken.
It was hilarious.
That was, that was another moment.
I was like, wow, that is kind of intense.
Yeah, they decapitated a fake person. But that's what they alluded to. Yeah, there were a couple moments in that short. I was like, what? Not expecting any of this.
Yeah.
Even when they have the shot of the asteroid going towards Earth at the end and it's like a purple glowing off of it and stuff.
It's like, man, that's really cool looking. Yeah. Like people saw an opportunity to go like over the top. Like, fuck it, why do we have to obey any set of rules? Why? Let's just do something insane. And they did it, and it was dope.
Coming in number one this week.
Number one.
Spectre.
Yeah, people, go see Peanuts.
Weekend gross at $35.5 million, total of $130.
35? Mm-hmm. After a $70 million weekend last weekend, that's a good hold, a 50% hold. If it really did have like bad word of mouth, it would have been like a 60%, 65% drop. 50% means people are still checking it out no matter what. Maybe it's one of those things where people just want to see it for themselves.
I mean, it was a good movie.
I think it's a good movie, but there's plenty of people out there that don't like it. Well, you know, to different degrees. And some of them, I've read some like things, some arguments about the movie that I can understand. Mm-hmm. And I get it, but I still enjoy the movie personally. Yeah,
it was fun.
For what I was expecting for a Bond movie.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. So, anyway, people, Spectre's cool. We think so, anyway. It's long, though. It is a little long. 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
I can't justify that. I can't be like, yeah, it's...
I mean, I agree. It's long.
Whew, it's long. New movies coming out on DVD this week, Drew. Here we go. We have The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Nice.
Speaking of spy movies, another spy movie, the forgotten spy movie.
Didn't get a chance to see that.
It's not bad. It's definitely a Redbox type movie.
Yeah.
You know, because it's entertaining enough. I'm trying to think about it now. I remember bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is what it is. It's a type of... We're hoping this is going to start a whole run of movies type of movie.
Yeah.
You know, and those have their drawbacks. We Are Your Friends comes out on DVD.
Oh, all right.
The broiest bro movie this side of Entourage.
Yes.
Miru, the documentary about the dudes climbing that intense mountain.
Oh, yeah.
That looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that. And the Stanford Prison Experiment is a...
I know about the
dramatic. The it's the dramatic version of the experiment. Google the experiment if you don't know about it, people. Basically, a study proved the design that people can be animals when put in the right situation. What's coming out in theaters, Drew?
The Hunger Games, Mockingjay, Part 2.
You know...
Parentheses, 2015.
I'm shocked. I feel like maybe I'm just not watching the right things. I don't know what's going
on. I haven't seen a single trailer for this movie.
I haven't seen any marketing for it.
Uh-uh.
They're like, are they just that confident?
Yes. They're like, listen, it's finally coming out. Just watch it. It's over.
We're saving our money for the marketing? Or are they like, we have nothing to sell. This is horrible. Or is there so many things that they don't want to give it away?
Maybe it's a mixture of all three.
Man. It's weird. It feels like... It's like Star Wars is everywhere. Everywhere you look at Star Wars.
Yeah.
I feel like The Hunger Games would have been the same way leading up to the last one. That happened with Harry Potter.
Harry Potter was everywhere with all the previous Hunger Games movies.
Yeah. Plenty of marketing behind them. Anyway. I guess we're going to find out.
Also, The Night Before comes out.
That looks funny.
It does.
Gonna enjoy that. Comedy Seth Rogen, JGL. Anthony Mackie.
Yep. No.
Should be good stuff. Good stuff.
Seth Rogen eats a bunch of drugs.
He eats a bunch of drugs and they react poorly.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
Better
him than me.
Also coming out this weekend, The Secret in Their Eyes.
Remake of a South American thriller. I think Argentine film.
Yeah.
Good cast, man. I mean,
Chewy, your boy Chewy.
My boy Chewy. Chewy Tell UG4, Nicole Kidman, Julia Roberts.
Yeah. Dean Norris.
Yes.
Your boy Dean Norris.
I follow him on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I have him on one of my lists, so I actually follow him. It's a tricky type of... Anyway, I want to see that one. A lot of movies.
Yeah. Also, Tom Hardy playing a pair of twins in Legend.
Legend. Saw a lot of trailers for this months ago, and I feel like it was supposed to come out already. And finally it's coming out. It's like the opposite of Hunger Games.
I'm looking forward to it, though.
Yeah. Double the Hardy.
Double the fun.
And it's a gangster movie, English gangster film.
Yeah.
Hopefully, as long as it's entertaining and fun. Doesn't have to be profound, just good.
Yeah. Also, Carol with Rooney Mara. Sarah Paulson.
That's Cate Blanchett. Who is kind of like, it's kind of making her, it's a bit of a, I don't want to say a comeback type thing, but outside of Blue Jasmine, a Woody Allen film a couple years ago, she hasn't done anything film-wise for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And that's because she was in a whole bunch of stuff, and then she was like, I'm taking a break, I'm going back to Australia, I'm going to do work at this theater company for a while. so I'm not going to be in any Hollywood films for a minute.
No.
So, you know, it's kind of like, oh, shit. But it's working for a small, like an independent filmmaker, Todd Haynes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one getting great reviews, man. It's like Rooney Mara plays, it's the 50s. She plays this chick working in a department store. And Kate Blanchett comes in and like sweeps her off her feet and shows her a whole new life of wonders or something like that.
Awesome.
I've only seen the trailer once. It looks good. It looks very classy.
Yeah.
Looks interesting. I want to see it. So is that it?
That's it.
That's everything coming out?
That's everything.
Amazon stuff. All right. Well, here we go. Time for the one and only Dr. Drew to give us his 2 cents in the weekly segment we call Dr. Drew's 2 cents. Oh, wrong button.
You must be Doc Holliday.
That's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
Here we go, the doctor's in. Dr. Drew, what do you got for us?
Sir, I've been in a 26-hour fallout coma since Tuesday.
Right.
I've put in 26 hours on the game.
Yeah.
And I would just like to say that if you're into the Fallout franchise or played Skyrim at all, I highly recommend the game. It is very addictive, and I'm very much looking forward to getting back to it. Doctor's out.
Are you handshaking?
A little bit. I don't know.
See, I even wrote down ahead of time.
I fell into the wasteland.
I wrote down ahead of time. Fallout. Like, just says Fallout 4. Yeah, I knew that's what you were talking about there because that's all you've been doing. Glad you've been enjoying
With all my spare time, yes.
You've been so excited for it. I'm glad it's delivering.
It's everything I ever wanted it to be and more.
Excellent. Glad to hear, Drew. Glad to hear. Well, take a break. Crespo Disco time. I'm going to play a couple of Vince Guaraldi Trio songs. Peanuts. Songs.
Sweet.
I think one of them may have been used. I think they used the song Skating because they do some skating, you know, ice skating stuff. So I think they may have used that. So I'm using that song. And but first, here's a song, Little Birdie. That's a song all about Woodstock. He was awesome. Everyone loves Woodstock.
I love Woodstock.
And Woodstock was in the movie and he was great.
He had little companions too.
Yeah. And they kept blaming that one.
Yep.
A little dummy. With the sideways hat. That's how I knew he was the dumb one.
He kept messing everything up, Chris.
Yep. Good times. Good times. All right, here we go. Let's take that break and we'll be back with the second half of the show. Let's do this.
Little birdie, why do you fly upside down? It's amazing that the way you get around. Little birdie, why you worry like you do? Don't you worry, you just do what you can do. Just fascinate you so. And your friend there likes to show you what he knows. Little birdie, he don't mind the way he should. He needs watching, that's when you know he'll be good. Little birdie, can't your friend do nothing right? It just seems now all he wants to do is fight. Little birdie, look at what he's trying to do. It's so easy, yet he don't know what to do.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Let's do this. Episode 149 is halfway done. Time for the home stretch. We're in that Crespo Dome. Plugs, Drew, where can people find you on the interwebs?
At antihero419, all over said interwebs.
All over. The internet. Hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. You can follow the show at Crespo Diso. We call Cinema Crespo Diso didn't fit. You would have been Cinema Crespo Dis. We're one character over, Drew. One character over. And by that point, I had committed to the show name. Go to chriscrespo.com. You can use that to go straight to our iTunes or the Stitcher, where you can put us on your favorite list or give us a rating and a review. That will help us out quite a bit. If you want some free stickers, email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. We'll send you some free stickers. Also, if you want some free stickers, buy a shirt for $20. Throw in a whole bunch of stickers for free.
So many.
So many stickers. Has anyone taken you up on the Visitor Queue Challenge yet, Drew?
No, and probably for good reason.
Yeah. Haven't heard anyone
talk
about that or the Begotten. Maybe they all stayed away.
Perhaps.
As you should. As you should, people. You're just, some things are better left. Some rocks are better left undisturbed. Don't see what's living underneath them. Creepy crawlies. So yeah, email us, iTunes us, and all that cool stuff. Tweet us and Facebook us and Instagram and, internet stuff. Actually, Speaking of internet stuff, I'm sure sometime this week, for the most part, most of you that are listening to this, not everyone downloads it right away. You can download the latest episode of the In Session Film Podcast. I'm going to be talking to those dudes about movies and stuff.
And stuff.
Well, I assume there's me stuff. There's always tangential stuff. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You got to put movies into context.
Correct.
And what is context if not stuff?
Yeah, heard that.
So, In Session Film Podcast. Check that out. Latest episode. I'll be Skyping in.
Oh, wow.
I don't know about this whole Skype thing.
I don't know. Well, you'll find out soon.
I don't like it. Well, I did it yesterday for another podcast, but that one's not coming out till February.
Oh, well, that's a long time.
It's a long time. So you'll be hearing about that one in the future. Oh, also, by the time this comes out, well, yeah. The Monday night episode of A Corporate Time with Tom and Dan. I was on that one.
Nice.
So that's podcasted as well. So if you don't hear it live, you can go ahead and check out the replay, the download. Download it. We talked about movies for 2 to 3 segments of the show.
Awesome.
First segment, we were talking about like Mort Povich and stuff. It was good times.
All right.
I was kind of hoping that they kept saying, we're going to talk movies, but then they started talking about other stuff. I was hoping that we would keep saying, we're going to talk movies when we come right back and then talk about other shit.
Yeah.
And then get the episode be done and no movies mentioned whatsoever.
That would be awesome.
That would have been funny.
But no.
Didn't happen that way. But shout out to Tom and Dan. Good guys. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it. So download that and check that out.
I think that's everything.
All right.
I think that's it.
Okay. That was a busy week, Chris.
Yeah. Gotta keep it moving. You know how it goes.
Yep.
You know how it goes with the kids these days. Speaking of the kids, it's time for the segment of the people. The Vox Populi. Got the intro right here. Check that out.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
Nah, I should have made that longer.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Vox Populi, send us whatever you want. Your movie reviews on Twitter or Facebook. Questions, topics, anything. We'll read it because this is your segment. This is the segment of the people.
On Twitter.
What's up, Twitter?
At Mr. Nathan got at
What's
us.
What's up, Nathan?
He's got a Bat Kid Begins review.
Bat Kid Begins. All right, cool. A documentary about that little kid.
Emotionally inspiring documentary that is pure beauty. Must watch for anyone wanting to be Batman.
Oh, sure. Plus, he got to be Batman.
Yeah.
All you got to do is be a little kid, cute little kid with cancer. And make a wish. And that's all you got to do.
Then and then you become Batman.
And then also survive the cancer, because that helps, too. Because that parading around town is kind of physically taxing.
Yeah. At Stomp Out Loud got at us.
Stomp Out Loud
says he wants us to rank the Daniel Craig James Bond movies.
Oh, we can do that. We can do that. You rank them first, Drew. Go.
What? So the second one.
Well, the movies are in order: Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, Skyfall, and Spectre.
So I'm gonna go Skyfall, Spectre. Casino Royale, Quantum Solace.
I'm gonna go Skyfall, Casino Royale, Skyfall, Quantum of Solace.
Skyfall.
Spectre.
Spectre.
They're both one word, S words, yeah. Right? Skyfall, Casino Royale, Spectre, Quantum of Solace. But Casino Royale and Skyfall, they're kind of like almost like a two-way, 2B yeah. type of thing. And then Quantum of Solace is like a jump-off. Like, I can watch those three movies. I cannot watch that horrible Quantum of Solace movie.
Right.
It's like the inverse of Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, correct. At Rage Against Twit got at us.
What's up, Rage Against Twit?
Inside Out Review Haiku.
Nice. Here we go.
Creative. Meta. Adult. Smart. Emotional. See it if not watched.
See it if not watching. Okay, yeah. It is a good movie.
No.
And it is all those things.
It is.
For sure.
Yes.
For sure.
He also got at us with a dope review haiku.
Dope. Awesome. Dope's a good movie.
Original film. Beautiful concept. Music. /music. It's a Redbox gem.
It is. that is definitely something people will be stumbling across.
On the Redbox.
Yeah. Like, what is this? And they watch, like, oh, shit, how come I didn't see this in theaters?
Because you didn't know about it.
You didn't know about it. Didn't have much of a marketing campaign.
And he got a Mr. Holmes review.
Nice. Running the gamut. I like it. Yep.
Curmudgeon Holmes fights time and gravity as he searches for redemption. A nice watch off the beaten path.
See, now, Curmudgeon Holmes fights time.
And
now,
gravity.
Makes me think now he's fighting monsters.
From
the time monster, yes, and the gravity monster.
The gravity monsters.
And he's like literally fighting them like Gandalf fought that giant Balrog thing in the mountain.
Well, I mean, maybe he turns into Gandalf real quick.
And he has a staff and a beard.
Yep, and then he turns into Magneto. Oh,
man, that'd be so awesome. I want to
see Sherlock Holmes.
Some sort of Ian McKellen composite character. All his characters and all their special abilities. He does a lot of like holding out his hand and things happening.
Yes.
That's the majority
of things happen when he holds out his hand, apparently.
Yeah. Stay away from Ian McKellen. If you see him walking down the street and he starts pointing at you, watch out.
Run like hell.
Because he thinks he's going crazy. He thinks one of these movies are real.
On Facebook, Ernie Cantu got at us.
What's up, Ernie Cantu?
How do you feel about CDs?
Oh, didn't we ask this earlier?
We talked about this earlier.
How do you feel about CDs? You know, CDs are pretty good. I got a CD. I have an RA CD that I don't put that much into it monthly.
not those kind of CDs,
but,
Chris,
you know, it builds over time. I'm pretty sure you get a better interest rate than you do on savings bonds.
Compact discs.
Compact discs? Is he talking about compact discs?
I think so.
Read the question again.
How do you feel about CDs?
Isn't that like a setup question? Yeah, so what about these CDs?
I don't know.
How do you feel about CDs? And then it's the old CDs nuts. Is he doing a CDs nuts on us?
Maybe.
Ernie, are you doing a CDs nuts on us?
Ricardo Perez got at us on Facebook. Master of the Universe.
What's
success,
up, Ricardo?
Master of the Universe success possible?
They are making a new one, apparently. A little while ago, like sometime last year, I think, someone put out a concept art picture thing of Battle Cat.
Mm-hmm.
Of, like,
which, blew up.
Yeah, and because it looked very, very cool, very epic and
pretty
badass.
Adult.
But it's also He-Man, and it's like, it's a dumbass mythology.
It is.
You know?
It's pretty retarded.
It is, so they can make up whatever they want. It's still just used with swords and dragons. It was made to sell toys.
Skeletor.
So I don't know about making it super adult. That just seems like wrong-headed.
All right. And we got an email from Paul Hine.
What's up, Paul?
He's got his Marvel Movie Minute, Chris.
Oh, that's right.
Song challenge accepted.
That's right. If you want to do your own segment within the segment, you can do it because it's the Vox Populi. We've opened it up.
Yeah,
and Drew put out the intro song challenge.
And it was accepted.
And so here we go.
You think you're the only superhero in the world?
Who the hell are you?
Mr. Stark, you become part of a bigger universe. You just don't know.
Pretending you could live without a war. God's righteous man.
Who?
I'm Groot.
So what?
I'm Groot.
Now might be a really good time for you to get angry.
Oh, yeah!
Groot! You have no idea what you're dealing with.
Shakespeare in the Park? Are you up for this?
Doth mother know you weareth her drapes?
And have a bow and arrow.
None of this makes sense.
I have a plan. You've got a plan!
Quite simply, gentlemen, I have harnessed the power of thoughts.
How can you possibly hope to stop me?
I'm touching myself tonight.
This is exactly what I wanted.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
There you go. That was your intro song for the Marvel Movie Minute. The song itself is about a minute, it looks like.
Awesome.
God damn, that's a long song. It's good. It was a good intro, though.
Yeah.
I thought it was all done.
So this is your Marvel Movie Minute, Chris.
Oh, shit, so I didn't play it again?
No.
Okay.
Doctor Strange is now filming, and Mads Mikkelsen has been cast as an unnamed character, adding to the list of Benedict Cumberbatch, Tilda Swinton, Chiwetel Ejiofor, and Rachel McAdams.
What a cast, man, for a comic book movie?
Please,
that shit's ridiculous.
Please have Mads be the demonic Dormammu, a.k.a. Lord of Darkness and Eater of Souls. Picture attached for reference. I know who Dormammu is.
Eater of souls. Juicy Cognitus, Eater of Souls. Dormammu, yeah, people, check out Dormammu.
I'm pretty sure he's my Dark Lord.
Your Dark Lord?
He's Lord of Darkness.
He's your Dark Lord, Dormammu?
Perhaps.
We'll return to the Marvel Movie Minute in a minute or two.
Okay.
First, we gotta do Dr. Drew's 2 cents. I mean, we already did Dr. Seuss. We got to do Juicy Cogburn versus the world.
Sparring round.
Because, you know, just because we don't have a guest here this week doesn't mean we can let you up. You gotta keep that shit sharp. That's why you're 17-5 this year, Drew.
Yeah.
17-5.
Yeah. Not doing bad.
Beast mode. That's why I like to see. This week's game, is this movie real?
Okay.
I'm going to give you the title of a movie.
I'll tell you if it's a real movie.
You can tell me if it's a real movie or not. Or if I made it up. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Number one, Home Alone, lost in Baton Rouge.
You made it up.
That is correct. Number two, Speed 3, Rocket Boost.
You made that up too.
That's correct. Number three, Star Trek Resurrection.
That's probably real.
That is incorrect. Oh. I'm sorry. It is actually Star Trek Insurrection.
Ah, I knew there was some sort of erection in there.
Number four, Police Academy, Mission to Moscow.
Yes.
That is correct. Number five, Saw 8, The Final Chapter.
No.
That is correct. They stopped at 7. Saw 7, The Final Chapter. Number six, James Bond in Diamonds Are Not Enough.
No.
That is correct. I combined a couple of titles there. Number seven, Sex in the City 3.
No.
That's correct. Number eight, Ernest Goes to School.
Yes.
That's correct. Number nine, Bring It On, Fight to the Finish.
No.
That is a real movie. Bring On, Fight to the Finish. It's either the fourth one or the fifth one. Okay. I'm not sure. But. And number 10, Tyler Perry's Madea's Witness Protection.
Yes.
That is correct. You only got two. You got 8 out of 10 there, dude.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. You know you're fake movies
of sorts.
You're pretty good at fake movies.
So back to the Marvel Movie Minute.
Back to the Marvel Movie Minute.
I think you're the only.
Okay. You're
right. Black Panther, set for a 2018 release, is struggling to find its director. Ava DuVernay from Selma, F. Gary Gray, Straight Compton, and Ryan Coogler from Fruitvale Station have all passed on this film. Mm-hmm. Does the director of Black Panther have to be African-American?
That's an interesting question. Because all those people did turn it down after meeting with Marvel. And that's not anything unusual. A lot of directors meet with Marvel for different projects.
And
like, you know what? You guys just have a level of creative control that I'm not too comfortable with at this time. It happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Most infamously with Edgar Wright, like in the 11th hour of making Ant-Man.
Yeah.
So does it have to be a black director? No, that's a thing. It's a reflection of the larger situation at hand, right? Mm-hmm. Because there are so few jobs go to non-white males, you know, whether we're talking about women of color, black people, Asian people, Spanish people. It's so much harder for them to get jobs in an industry dominated by white men.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets to a point where when a company then makes their first movie featuring a black lead character, which is what's happened with Marvel, now people are like, well, are you going to give this to a white dude too? You know, like, are you just going to go ahead and give everything to white people?
We're trying, man.
You know, so yes, then it becomes an easy entry point for an affirmative action type thing. Yes. Like, we need to hire more black people because unfortunately the system is not set up in a way that, you know, it's not based on merit. You know, it's based on opportunity and who you know, and that all.
And how much money you can make.
And that all comes out of socioeconomic statuses and shit. So, does it have to be a black director? No. Ideally, in an ideal world, Black Panther would just go to the director.
To a competent director.
Yeah, to a competent director with the best vision, with the best fit for the material, whether or not it's a man, a woman, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, you know? Like with Aquaman, they didn't find a Mariner. But they didn't find a sea god to direct Aquaman.
Yeah.
They got James Wan to do it. So, but on the flip side, should Marvel hire a black director for Black Panther? Yes, I think they should. Because what? You're going to give that to a white person too?
Yes. Give everything to white people.
Just give everything to the white men.
White people need more
stuff.
Not
even white people, to the white men. White women have it just as hard.
White men need more stuff.
White women have it just as hard. Those cisgendered white men, thank God for the Wachowskis. They had to flip midway through, but one of them, now we got a successful transgender director out there. That's interesting, you know. But man, fucking, it's a fucked up situation, is what it is. See what happens, Paul? Marvel Movie Minute turned into This Week in Racism in Hollywood. Hollywood is mad racist. The supposedly liberal town with their liberal views.
Mm-hmm.
They're still so racist over there because it's just the way it is everywhere. Power to the people. There's a war to the death against all Puerto Ricans people.
Yes, there are. There is.
Be careful. It's been raging for 120 years.
I'm looking forward to winning said war.
It's almost over. Puerto Rico's on the ropes. It's sad. That was a pretty long intro.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was a good intro. And I like long intros. Just like the intro you used for Billy D's Death of the Movies. Here we go. Check that out.
What is up, my dudes and possible guests?
No guests, Billy. Oh, but we have a guest for many weeks to come after this one, so we're all good. Thanks. Appreciate it.
What's up, holiday preparations are in full swing here at Fort Awesome. The new oven is road-tested and road-approved. Delicious feasting, here we come.
The new oven is road-tested and road-approved.
I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, man.
Here at Billy D's Death.
Billy D's Death. Wait. Okay, no, I gotta do the whole thing already. Tempted to play the entire song that time.
What gets reviewed and what doesn't is a moving target. Sometimes I sit down and say, I am reviewing this movie that I am watching. Other times I just watch a bunch of shit and something rises to the top.
Sure.
The problem with shit rising to the top is that it's usually made of shit. This week I caught The Sand via an Amazon rental.
The Sand?
What a mistake. The Sand is about killer sand or a jellyfish monster under some sand that kills.
What?
Either way, with characters this stupid, you root for the sand. How do people make movies with characters so stupid? The premise would have you believe that they either A, aren't smarter than sand, or B, not smarter than a cephalopod. Are there people in real life this stupid? And since when is Jamie Kennedy a get?
Aww.
Worst game of ground is hot lava ever. Stay cool, Billy D.
Oh, ripping on the sand. People work so hard to make that, Billy.
Sounds awful.
Does sound awful. Maybe it's satire. That's why they're so stupid. But what are they satirizing?
The
human's relationship to sand?
Sand. That's pretty dumb.
Does it take place in the desert? Why is there so
probably
much
not.
Sand?
Maybe a beach. He said cephalopods, so there's jellyfish. There's got to be water somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I was listening.
There you were. Of course you were.
Oh, thank you, Billy. You can follow him on Twitter at I Love Blood. And he's a good guy. You got good times. What we got here? Let's get into some movie news. Movie news. There's, the guy who did Snowpiercer.
Mm-hmm.
Bong Joon-ho,
mm-hmm.
South Korean filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
Snowpiercer, $34 million, was the highest budgeted South Korean film of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Blockbuster, on their standards.
Yes.
Very cool movie, very fun. It's on Netflix.
Yep.
Highly recommend people check that one out. Guy also did The Host,
uh-huh.
The monster movie,
yes.
Which is also on Netflix.
Yep.
People can check that. And he's a very, very, very good, very acclaimed filmmaker over there. His very first movie, Memories of Murder,
mm-hmm.
is a South Korean serial killer, like investigation thriller type thing.
Okay.
Really, really well done. Really good stuff. He's got his next project coming up. And like Snowpiercer, it's a co-production, international production, so some of it's going to be in South Korean, some of it's going to be in English.
Okay.
And the cast is coming together. First off, the money, $50 million, his biggest budget yet, Bong Joon-ho, being put up by Netflix.
Ooh.
And in association with Brad Pitt's Plan B.
Okay.
Production company. So it's a Netflix joint, this South Korean film. And it's called Okja, O-K-J-A, one word. And the cast includes Bill Nighy, mm-hmm. Tilda Swinton, and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Ooh.
And let's see, we got a plot synopsis here. Is there one here? I thought there was. We do have a statement from Bong Joon-ho. It says, it really is a fantastic opportunity for me as a filmmaker. For Okja, I needed a bigger budget than I had for Snowpiercer and also complete creative freedom. Netflix offered me the two conditions that are typical to have in hand simultaneously. So that's where Netflix is coming from now with these movies. They're like, hey, here's a bunch of money that you need. Make whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Okja follows a Korean girl who befriends a kind-hearted monster.
Hmm.
The title refers to the name of the monster. The film splits its time between the U.S. and Korea. So Gyllenhaal, Swinton, Nighy, along with Paul Dano and Kelly MacDonald from No Country for Old Men, play supporting characters in scenes set in New York City. Casting is underway to find the lead girl. So it's a movie about a friendly monster.
Hmm.
But takes place in two different places, and Jake Gyllenhaal's in it. So, I don't know, man.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm excited that it's
very interesting.
I like that he's like, I need $50 million for it. Snowpiercer is $34 million. Pretty epic movie.
Yeah.
It all does take place on the train. but many different compartments. The host is so good too.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds very interesting. I'm interested to see how it all works out.
And with it being on Netflix, then
when does it come out?
I think they're shooting. They're going to start shooting next year, so maybe at the end of next year, well, a year from now, maybe early 2017.
Okay,
it's possible. Which is already 2017, right around the corner here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is crazy. You know what? It's been a while since we've had a good Shia LaBeouf story.
Okay.
It's been a while, Drew.
Do we have one now?
We got a good one for this week.
All right.
We got a fun one, an enjoyable one. Shia LaBeouf up to his LaBeoufian antics. LaBeoufian antics. That's what he's all about.
Okay, so what's up with it?
Hashtag all my movies. It's an art project that he did in New York City in which he watched in a theater, in a public theater that was open to the public, all of his movies that he's been in reverse chronological order in a row with a 5-minute break between each movie.
Okay.
And he had a camera set up in the theater on his face so that you could watch Shia LaBeouf watching his movies.
What?
Yes. Yes, true. 72 hours of watching Shia LaBeouf movies in a row.
What?
If you go online, someone did a bunch of screen grabs of Shia LaBeouf watching Transformers 3.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he does not like that movie very much.
Really?
A lot of faces where he's just like a face in his hands, you know, and he's like covering his eyes. At one point,
he's disgusted with himself.
At one point, you can see him. He puts on a jacket or a coat or whatever, and then he goes to the back of the theater and lays down and goes to sleep.
Well, yeah, he obviously doesn't like
during Transformers 3.
Yeah,
and he watched them in reverse chronological order, which means if that's what he thought about Transformers 3, what about Transformers 2?
Ooh.
I mean, that's the real shit one. Although the fourth one is pretty shit too.
No shit.
No shit. The shit. So Shia LaBeouf. Up to his boofery.
Watching. You can watch him. Watch him.
You could have. You could have. If you live in New York City, you could have gone to the theater and watched movies with him.
What?
I would have watched Holes with him.
Holes wasn't bad.
Holes wasn't bad. And that's like towards the end of his of the marathon. So he would have been all loopy and weird.
Yeah.
Might have been like open to talking during the movie.
Perhaps.
Like, yeah, what were you thinking during this scene?
You get some strange interview with him.
When Susan Sarandon was yelling at you.
Hmm.
What was going through your head at that time? You want some milk duds? I got some milk duds. I'll share milk duds with Shia LaBeouf. But like, I'll pour them into his hand, though. I don't want him reaching into the box.
That would be... Really? Be that afraid?
The Boofery. Look at him. Look at that picture of him. Just looking up at... That's what it was like.
Oh, he just sits there?
He just sits there. And it's a tight one on him. And he looks hysterical. Thank you, Shia, for this week's entertainment.
Doing some Shia LaBeoufery.
A glimpse into your madness. We appreciate it. Thank you so much, sir. So George Romero. Heard this guy is George Romero.
Yeah.
He did the Night of the Living Dead. Kind of invented the whole modern zombie thing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he did Dawn of the Dead. And then Day of the Dead.
Okay.
Shot partly in Sarasota.
Okay, yes.
Took a little break from the zombie movies. Came back in the 2000s with Land of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Then he did a few more since then that are no good. But that's what he does. He makes these Of the Dead movies.
Yes.
And he has a comic that he did that he produced, co-wrote. I don't know what his exact involvement was. But Empire of the Dead. Have you heard of this, Drew? In the comic book world?
No.
Empire of the Dead. It's a pretty cool image from the. It's like some people almost looks like a wedding party, but using zombies as horses to pull a chariot.
Oh, isn't that cute?
Right. So it's it takes place in like the story takes place in New York City, and it's quite a few years after the zombie outbreak, and it's kind of like a Land of the Dead situation where they've adjusted. Humans have adjusted. They've built up a whole new empire around the zombie outbreak, and you know if they contained it, they're managing it.
Yeah, that type of thing. They deal with it.
They deal with it. They're using it to their advantage. That's being turned into a TV show.
Okay, more zombie TV shows.
More zombie TV. Not just anyone doing it. AMC.
Really?
Home of Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Now they got an Empire of the Dead. So they're...
Man, they're just... Man.
They're tripling down on that zombie TV show, yo. I'm kind of... Like, when is this going to run out? I could have sworn... Before Walking Dead even started, I could have sworn the zombie thing was running out of steam. At that point. Because at that point, we were already on a 6-7 year run of zombie stuff based on that remake
that
came
out
in 2002-ish. It's going strong, man.
Yeah. I mean, they're making... Yeah. Yeah. I mean...
It's like the highest rated show right now, I think, is Walking Dead. Highest rated cable show.
Yeah. It's all... I mean, people love their zombies, I guess.
They really do.
It's going to be unfortunate when the zombies never come.
Yeah, get over it, people. We all had our laugh. Let's move on to something else. Isn't it time for the creature from the Black Lagoon? Can we all be into Black Lagoon stuff now?
We could.
Come on.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's start it.
Let's get it started. We'll write the Black Lagoon reboot screenplay. But it'll be... We'll tie it into climate change. Man-made climate change. Good old... Some waste, toxic waste, in a lagoon area, turns it radioactive. Borneth, creature from Black Moon. That's where the monster in the host comes from.
Is it?
Yeah, they dump a bunch of crap down a sink, and it feeds directly into a water supply, and some little fishy thing gets contaminated and grows up into this gigantic host monster thing
that eats people.
Yeah. Or just knocks him around with its tail.
Yeah.
Or if need be, kidnap him to take him back to their lair to eat later.
Sweet.
Because there's bones in the lair.
No.
So that would suck. That sucks. Why did it take me?
Because you were there. That's why.
Because I was there and I was too slow.
Yep.
Too damn slow. Gotta get on that cardio.
You better. Me too.
It's always the... You can't outrun the Cenobites in Hellraiser.
Nope.
No outrunning them. They just appear.
Yep.
Because they're...
demons of sorts. You're in another dimension.
Well, yeah, because they say that people call them angels and demons, but they're just from another dimension.
Yeah,
like
we don't know.
We're just from we're just from another place. We just open a door. You open a door. We're here.
What's up, guys?
How's it going, guys?
Here's some pain.
Eternal pain. Here we go.
/ pleasure.
Like you, it's gonna drive you mad. Mad, I say. Fucking AMC Empire of the Dead. Ridiculousness.
It is.
Ridiculous. All right. Well, you know what?
What?
What time is it? Yeah. Okay.
About that time.
It's about that time, Drew. You know what? You wanna go through the swag bags? And I'm so used to giving out swag bags this time. I'm used to that big ending. Why don't you go through the bags and pick one item?
I'm looking for it. You'll find it.
You're looking for the item? Drew has an idea of what he wants. He's looking through the swaggery. There's so many things. There's two new swag bags, too, with new stuff for our guest. But Drew's getting first pick. Is it a crystal growing kit?
Oh, you got a different one.
Oh, which is that one?
This is... Oh, I want to know what the Transformers
one is. Oh, the Transformers... There's one in there. It's in there somewhere.
Oh, there it is. But it's the Marvel one's better at actually... Yeah.
So you're taking, what is that?
I'm taking the Marvel, the Mystery Marvel 500 figure.
You got to open the package.
I'm going to open it.
Wait. Now, do you want that or do you want what's in the box?
No, I want this.
Okay. All right, open it up. And we're opening it. Let's see what the Mystery Marvel figure is.
Well, hang on. This is the first time opening. Yeah. Okay. So I guess there's a list.
It's a list of figures?
First, it gives you a list of possible figures that it could be.
Oh.
So you can line it up to it. It's just a little tiny... Man, that is just a tiny little thing.
What? That is a tiny little thing. What's that even supposed to be?
This is the Green Goblin.
You got a tiny little Green Goblin?
See? Green Goblin.
You got a tiny little Green Goblin, Drew.
I would have rather had... Oh, man. They had a Spider-Man, a Thor, Nick Fury. The Red Hulk would have been cool.
Oh, but you got a Green Goblin. Sorry, a little sad now that it's a Green Goblin.
I mean, whatever.
Whatever?
It's cool.
We're taking it?
Yeah, I'm taking it.
All right.
Venom would have been cool, too.
See,
it's a mystery, though. You never know.
All right.
He doesn't stand up.
Well, there you go, Drew. That's your payment.
Oh, yes, he does.
That's your payment for the year.
Awesome. Thanks.
You're very welcome. All right, well, that's the end of the show.
I don't have to pin this on my taxes, do I?
No.
Good.
But it's only a couple bucks. Paid the sales tax on it, so it's already been taxed once.
All right.
All right, guys, we'll be back next week with a whole new episode of the show, episode 150. It's going to be a good one. Drew will not be here.
I'll be up hanging.
But we're
you might get, somebody might read my words on Billy Dee's Death of Movies.
Or you could send it to Dr. Drew's 2 cents.
I could.
And then we can have our guest co-host read it.
I could.
Because I have a guest co-host lined up.
I might do that.
All right. Keep the Dr. Drew's 2 cents alive. And we'll have a returning guest, the guest who hasn't been here in a while. Looking forward to having him. It's going to be great. Spoiler alert, I just said it was a him.
Ruh-roh.
Most of them are names. So we'll be back with 150.
All right.
Thanks for listening to 149. Break up big banks. Vote for Bernie Sanders. And put your money under mattresses.
Everyone's mattresses on fire.
And then light your mattresses on fire and be excellent to each other. Thank you very much.